that the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals failed to properly consider Mr. Cohn's well-founded fear of future persecution. The second is that the negative credibility determination was unsupported by the record. And the third is that the immigration judge failed to consider the corroborative material provided by Mr. Cohn, which, even assuming that his testimony was not credible, which independently established his claim. I'd like to start with the well-founded failure to consider the well-founded fear of future persecution, which I believe provides.
Doesn't that hinge on the second and third? I mean, it's really not independent. If you believe the story, right?
Respectfully, no, Your Honor, because an individual can establish asylum eligibility for asylum under two ways. First is to establish past persecution, which gives rise to a presumption of a well-founded fear. But the second is even independent of past persecution.
If he's got a negative credibility finding, it just casts into question everything that he said.
Except the immigration judge on page 134 of the record explicitly found the testimony of Mr. Dong's pastor to be credible. And the immigration judge explicitly accepted the fact that Mr. Dong is a practicing Christian, that he was baptized here in the United States, and that he attends church every single week.
So that's all. He's a Christian.
Correct, Your Honor. And then
but again, we're back to what Judge Bybee asked you. With a bad credibility finding as to what he testified in the court, why do we need to even discuss future? Because whatever he said or didn't say about future is not credible.
Assuming that his claim of past
persecution. There is nothing here. There's no independent evidence that's independent of his testimony, which helps him. There's nothing that is in this record to help him other than his own testimony, and he's already incredible. So that's why I think, Judge Kaczynski's question is pretty important. We better go to the credibility to determine what to do. Now, if we go to the credibility, you realize this is a Real ID Act, right?
Yes, sir.
And with the Real ID Act, if you have a minor inconsistency, it's enough, right?
Yes, sir.
It doesn't have to be anything but minor. If we weren't in the Real ID Act, it would be different.
I absolutely agree, yes, sir.
So why don't you explain to us how we can get by that stuff with the baton?
Well, any inconsistency alleged must still be grounded in the record. And the point is that the inconsistency alleged by the immigration judge, in fact, didn't exist. The immigration judge can't mischaracterize testimony under the Real ID Act. In fact, the Real ID Act 1158 explicitly requires the immigration judge.
But he's got pretty clear evidence of an inconsistency as to the nature of the baton that was used by the police against your client.
But respectfully disagree with the immigration judge found was the fact that in the immigration judge's characterization, that in his written testimony, in his written statement, he indicated he was shocked by an electrical baton. He never stated that he was shocked by an electrical baton. He merely stated in the written translation of his written statement that it was characterized as an electric baton, but never said that he was shocked. And this is very important, and in fact, Your Honor,
that was just a minute. Y'all never even suggested he was that there was any translation error when he was confronted. And he initially denied even writing that there was an electric baton. And after they had a continued hearing, he went back to the internet and read what it said. And at that point, he tried to change it and say, yeah, it was an electrical baton.
But again,
that to me is absolute inconsistency and not minor. Because now we're really talking about the extent of his injuries.
But the key in the error below is not that it was just merely a difference between being struck by a baton or an electrical baton. It was that the immigration judge characterized it and explicitly said that Mr. Dong claimed he was shocked by the electrical baton. He never once in his written statement, in his statement when he arrived at the United States, the border interview, during his credible fear interview,
so
during his testimony.
So you're suggesting he can say it was an electric baton, that wasn't the way it was, but thereafter go look at the internet and come back and say, no, I made a mistake, it was an electrical baton, and that's not a minor inconsistency.
But that's not what the immigration judge found again.
No, just a minute, that's exactly what your client did.
I would respect
that. In my book, that's exactly what the IJ was talking about.
That's that's, but that's not what the IJ said, Your Honor, and I don't think that in my client.
Do you have the IJ's ruling in front of you if you want to point us to specific language?
The specific language is on page 120 of the record where the immigration judge explicitly says, if Mr. Dong had, in fact, been shot with an electric baton, this would have been a notable aspect of his persecution. Thus, the court finds the use of the word electrical baton significant.
Was it hit? He didn't say that Dong said he was shot. But what you just read us said, if he had been shot, this would have been a substantial step in proving in finding his burden.
I think that the use of the conditional by immigration judges is to cast doubt on Mr. Dong's claim that he was shot, when in fact he never claimed.
Right. Actually, but where did the IJ say that Dong said he was shot?
We were on that quote where he's saying, if he were actually shot, this would be significant. So
should I even accept that? But that's not a finding that Dong said he was shot.
I believe it is a finding, and I respectfully honor that. It is a finding that Mr. Dong actually claimed to have been shot, and that's why it's casting doubt on his testimony. And I would also note a couple of other points.
Let me make sure I understand your position. You read the IJ's decision as having attributed your client's claim that he was shot.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, we may or may not agree with that. If we disagree with that, if we think that, in fact, IJ does not attribute that to your client, he nevertheless says, I see a difference between an electric baton and a regular baton. Do you take issue with that?
I would still assert that there are sufficient grounds to remand, even if the court disagrees with my interpretation of the immigration judge's decision.
So the theory that if you get hit over the head, it doesn't matter whether the instrument is capable of shocking as well.
Precisely, Your Honor. And the other point is that it was raised earlier that we're not just relying on his testimony. So even if we can say that there are minor inconsistencies that require rehabilitation, the key is that there was independent evidence admitted into evidence, not objected to by the government, that the immigration didn't consider, and most importantly, the contemporaneous medical records, which detailed from the doctor that he went to after he was mistreated by the police, where the doctor himself reports what Mr. Dong was indicating, which is that he reported to the doctor that he was beaten with a baton. The doctor reported multiple contusions all over his body, dried blood on his body, dried blood on his clothing. This was independent, contemporaneous, corroborative material that matches with what Mr. Dong was describing in his testimony. And the immigration judge's failure to consider that independent evidence literally doesn't even make a mention of this evidence, but let's say they've considered all of the evidence. And while it's a general rule, an immigration judge is not required to parse through every piece of evidence, where this very specific, unobjected to admitted evidence was not even mentioned, discussed, or in any way reconciled with the immigration judge's finding on that basis alone, even if we have lingering doubts about whether or not Mr. Dong was inconsistent, the question that remains is whether this independent evidence rehabilitates otherwise apparently inconsistent testimony.
We've taken you down to 1 minute, but maybe you ought to speak to monitoring. Yes, I think monitoring is deeply tough one for you.
Yes, sir. Did you have a specific question?
I've read your argument, but I don't know how that really helps you. I'm just trying to let you explain, because in my book, there's an inconsistency that's pretty relevant. Dong appeared to simply embellish his claim on the spot. This was progression. It proves by substantial evidence that there's an adverse credibility finding.
There's nothing to prohibit an asylum applicant to expand upon his written statement.
Well, nothing to prevent that he expands, but if it has nothing to do with what really happened, then you can make it an adverse credibility finding. And when it's a minor inconsistency, there we are.
I would respectfully assert that first, because the immigration judge said the most significant factor was the electrical baton issue, and the evidence corroborates his claim, that if we eliminate that, if we scrub that error from the judge's finding, we don't know whether or not the monitoring issue would be sufficient for negative credibility determination. And secondly, I would just state with respect to that issue, Your Honor, that this is not an inconsistency. The because this was something
that I don't believe you can say that the IJ found odd the progression from simply being asked what he was doing to being threatened by the same officer that beat him previously and noted that Dong appeared simply embellishing his claim. That's a little bit better than passing it by.
Yes, Your Honor, but the, first of all, in his statement, he says he was monitored and harassed by the officials. And I would also note that Mr. Dong's mother's letter indicates that he was, in fact, followed and harassed and bothered by the officials. And there are vague references, and absolutely, I am not going to stand here and claim that they provided the specific detail that he did provide during his testimony, that the record doesn't reflect that. But what it does reflect is he provided vague general details about this monitoring and then elaborated on those details when he was given the opportunity to testify in detail.
Okay, thank you.
We'll hear from the government. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Alexander Lewis for the respondent. Your Honors, this record would not compel any reasonable fact finder to conclude that Mr. Dong provided credible testimony for reasons that Your Honors have already touched on in your questioning of Petitioner's counsel. We've got an inconsistency about baton versus electric baton, which is
I think taking the position that Mr. Dong claims he was shocked by the baton.
Your Honor, I don't think Mr. Dong necessarily said he was shocked by the baton. We read the language that Mr. Dong's counsel just addressed on page 120 of the record as saying that this is a significant inconsistency because if he had been shocked, if you remember that, that would be a significant detail of his
story. He doesn't seem to have been shocked, so I'm not sure why it matters if you get hit over the head, whether you get hit over the head by a regular baton or an electric baton. I mean, you know, it's not the kind of detail that you would necessarily remember. The officer's giving you something and hits you over the head with it. If you get shocked, then you can say, well, you know, it was an electric baton. But I don't quite understand this, why this matters, why the particular, you know, I guess there are different words in Chinese for baton, electric baton. Is that what I gather from that?
Your Honor, the record does contain evidence from a sworn immigration court interpreter who said there was no ambiguity as to Mr. Dong's use of the word electrical. But in response to the general
term, well, no, I understand. I was just saying, I gather there are different words in Chinese for a regular baton and electric baton. It's not like English where you have to add and modify it to baton and call it electric baton. It's just different words for the so it's not like you have to add a word and say, oh, it was an electric baton. Well, I gather it's a different word, so he used one of the words, another word, and I'm not sure what significance there is, whether it was electric or it wasn't electric, or whether we know whether it was electric or not. The consequence was that he was hit over the head, or that's what he claims.
Well, Your Honor, I suppose I make 2 points in response to your question. The first is that the immigration judge's finding to do with the electrical baton, as adopted by the board, didn't just have to do with the basic distinction between two different implements. It had to do with Mr. Dong's shifting, conflicting explanation for that inconsistency. When the immigration judge noted at this point, Mr. Dong testified that he did write electrical, that he didn't write electrical, that he didn't know whether the baton was electrical because he didn't see it, that he put electrical because he thought they were the same thing, and that he put electrical because his computer prompted him to do it when he was writing the declaration. That's part of the immigration judge's finding on this issue, and that's part of the finding the board adopted. But even if we set all that aside, we've still got the entire separate inconsistency where Mr. Dong added in his cross-examination testimony an entirely new claim about being threatened face-to-face with death in an alley by a Chinese police officer. And that claim was completely absent from his written submissions.
What about the doctor's evidence that he came in bloodied and bruised and told the story about being hit with a baton?
Well, Your Honor, we would respectfully suggest that that's not enough to corroborate Mr. Dong's testimony. And
the IJ doesn't even mention it. It's sort of like not there.
Well, Your Honor,
he's praising it, and doesn't it? But it's a third party who provides evidence. In fact, he comes fall down the stairs?
Well, Your Honor, I guess I suppose there's two issues that your question touches on. One is the significance of this document, and the other has to do with the point Mr. Dong is making now about whether the agency sufficiently dealt with the document. So as to the first point, you point out that this hospital report just shows that he was beaten, that he has injuries consistent with being beaten. That alone doesn't corroborate the whole scope of Mr. Dong's claim that he was a member of an underground house church, was detained on that basis, and was being enforced to write a confession letter. It has nothing to do at all with the second and third instances of persecution that he alleges. As to whether the agency erred in its treatment of this evidence, we would respectfully submit that the record does not compel that conclusion. Mr. Dong's counsel just a few moments ago conceded that the agency is not required to specifically step through each item of evidence and explain how much weight it gave to it. This court said that in Gailey, which is a case we cited in our brief.
Well, but the IJ essentially seems to have concluded that Mr. Dong fabricated the incident about being hit over the head. It seems to me that a piece of evidence shows that he is in the hospital and he's bloodied, and that he talks about being hit. I mean, that strikes me as pretty significant stuff to just, you know, I mean, it's not just, I have no idea what the IJ thought. Was it a quote fake? Was it a quote, it's a little hard to understand.
Well, Your Honor, we would respectfully suggest that the agency did ignore this evidence. They just declined to specifically mention it in their decisions as they were going through several
hospitals. Well, how can you explain it? I mean, he has a hospital report that he comes in bloody and so on, right? And it seems to me it makes it less likely that he's lying about being hit with a baton and bruised. If at the same time, on the same day, he comes in at the hospital with a makes the question whether it's an electric baton or a regular baton seem sort of trivial by comparison.
Well, Your Honor, I just circle back to my earlier comment that this document alone just shows that Mr. Dong may have been beaten. It doesn't support his entire claim. He needs more than just having been beaten to show a...
So the theory is what? He got into a fight in a bar and decided to then use it as an excuse for saying that it was the police. I mean, is that what you're saying? It's the idea on the spot when he walks into the hospital, he tells them one story, which he sort of concocted, anticipating he would get asylum, he would seek asylum in the United States.
Well, Your Honor, I don't think we need to go that far. I think the only...
No, I'm going to make you go that far. I know you don't want to go there, but nevertheless, what's your answer to my question? I mean, he gets into a fight in a bar and decides, oh boy, this is a good chance for me to go to a hospital and claim to be harassed by the police so that I can raise this immigration case many years later in the United States and claim prosecution. Is that the theory? Is that what we're talking about?
No, Your Honor, that's not my position. The facts and the record wouldn't support that. Our point is just...
You think the piece of evidence is fabricated?
No, Your Honor, we're not necessarily saying that either. Our point is just that this item of evidence alone would not...
The weasel wouldn't necessarily. That's one of the things you must learn in law school. Are you saying it is? Are you saying it isn't? I mean, what is the government's position? Is it, you know, he has a piece of evidence that he was, in fact, treated for what seemed to be injuries result of a beating? There has to be some explanation. What's the government's position as to that? Is that fabricated? If it's not fabricated, how does it fit into the story?
Your Honor, I don't have a position on whether the document was fabricated or not, because the issue before this court is whether this record would compel any reasonable fact finder to conclude that Mr. Dong testified credibly or sufficiently corroborated his claim such that he made out a claim for asylum. And this one document does not carry that burden. Even if we set this whole issue aside about whether he was beaten or not and with what implement, we still have the inconsistency.
So when you say set it aside, you can't just set it aside. You know, you can set it aside and say, well, believe him. He was, in fact, beaten by the police. If you want to do that, that's fine. But you can't just ignore it and say it doesn't exist.
Certainly, I understand Your Honor's point.
No, so are you willing to say, okay, even assuming that he, in fact, was beaten by the police, he reports, it doesn't matter? Is that what you wanted to say?
No, Your Your Honor, what we're saying is that even if this document were true and...
So you agree that if the document is true and, in fact, his story about being beaten by the police in an alley is true, then he'd have... then the IJ's conclusion would not be supported by it?
No, Your Honor, I didn't say that.
Okay, so let's assume then that it is true. In fact, he was, in fact, beaten by the police. Because you're not willing to assume otherwise. So let's assume that, in fact, it happens according to the argument. So this is a guy who gets beaten by the police in an alley, comes to the hospital and says, bloodied and bruised, and says, I've been beaten by the police.
Well, Your Honor, then
we'll take it from there.
Your Honor, if it pleases the Court, I feel that I must clarify a couple of points about what the record
is. I asked you questions. You said, no. I'm not sure I understand your position. You can't sit there aside. You can't ignore it. You must either assume it happened or assume it didn't happen. So which one do you want to assume? And you want to assume, because you say even without this, he loses. Okay? So if you want to make that kind of argument, even without this, so even if we ignore this problem, he loses, we have to make some assumption about what it is. So the only way you can go on to your argument that he loses anyway is by assuming that this one, he wins on this one. Okay, are you making the argument that even we assume that he wins on this one, that IJ's finding is supported?
Your Honor, I'm not making precisely that point, and I feel I must clarify what the document actually says in order for my position to make sense.
Well, even if you said even if, so you are taking back the even if.
Respectfully, no, Your Honor. I just want to clarify what this document says. The document says that Mr. Dong had injuries consistent with having been beaten. The document is dated July 15th, 2009, and says he claimed to have been beaten 2 days before that. So the reason I wanted to clarify that is that Your Honor's question suggested this document related to the incident where he claimed to have been beaten in an alley. That's not what the document says. The document arguably pertains to the first incident where he claims he was detained and beaten. And all it shows is that at some time, roughly consistent...
So this is not the baton incident?
It is the baton incident, but that's a separate incident. It's three incidents total. The first one is where he claims to have been detained while attending the first house church of which he claims to have been a member. He was taken into detention for 3 days, and during that detention was beaten with either a baton or electric baton. We don't know because he was inconsistent on that point. The second incident is the one that he revealed for the first time in his testimony and on cross-examination and had never mentioned before in any submissions or direct testimony. In that incident, he claimed that he was confronted in an alley by one of the police officers who had previously beat him in the first incident, and that police officer grabbed him by the collar, threatened him with a baton, and said, if I catch you attending the house church again, I'll beat you to death. So that's the second incident. That's the one that appears for the first time on cross-examination. And then the third incident, months later, he's joined a second house church, he claims. He's handing out pamphlets in the street with two members of that congregation. The police see him from a little ways away in the street and publicly shout, stop right there or we'll beat you to death. And he flees into hiding with his aunt and ultimately winds up journeying to the United States. The document that Your Honor is talking about is a hospital report that says that sometime roughly consistent with that first incident, he checked into a hospital and showed symptoms that were consistent with having been beaten. He claimed he was beaten 2 days earlier. And that's all that document says. So this is my point. If we accept that document as true, all it does is show that he was beaten around that time as his claim of this first incident. But just that point, just that fact alone, wouldn't compel a reasonable fact finder to reverse the agency's decision here, partly because the document doesn't go far enough to corroborate his claim. It doesn't say anything about his religion, about attending a house church, about his story about being forced to write a repentance letter.
Well, it does corroborate the aspect of the story that says that he was beaten by the police. It says that he comes in with bruises consistent with being beaten.
It doesn't mention the police, Your Honor, but Your Honor is correct that it does suggest that he was beaten. And my point is twofold. First,
this is something that the IJ needed to deal with.
I think the IJ did deal with it, Your Honor. I think the IJ said he considered all the evidence, and that's all
of evidence that was not mentioned by the immigration judge is also key, and that's on page 487 and 488, which is the bail received from administrative detention, reflecting dates that match the medical report, reflecting the testimony, reflecting the certificate. There's a bail received from administrative detention on page 487 and 488, which we also highlighted in our brief that the immigration judge failed to consider.
So you said bail as in?
Yes. Mr. Dong testified that he was required.
That was the one.
Exactly. That's what he testified to and wrote, that he was required to pay this fine in order to be released from administrative detention.